For now, let's talk about another myth. Love. Okay, just kidding, folks. We at the Stanford Storytelling Project do believe in love. But there are a lot of myths about love. The story of Apollo and Daphne has got to be the proto-barking up the wrong tree story. One of the gods, Apollo, falls desperately in love with a young nymph named Daphne. Even though he's a god, she doesn't like him back. So he chases her through the forest, calling her name, telling her he loves her, and so on. And when he's just about to catch her, her legs root themselves to the ground, green branches shoot from her arms, and her hair changes into crisp leaves. He stops. He can't believe it. She's a tree. The story of Apollo and Daphne is supposed to be a tragedy. But let's face it, Apollo had it easy. Once Daphne had become a tree, it was pretty clear she was the wrong girl for him. As Christina Ho discovered, in real life, it's much harder to figure out whether you're with the right person.
Last month, my boyfriend and I broke up. To the casual observer, he and I were perfect for each other. We were the dream couple of online dating services everywhere. Both Christian, both Chinese American, both music lovers who wanted to travel the world. I liked to talk, he liked to listen. I got mad easily. He was one of the most patient people I've ever met. And plus, we had fun together. The kind of fun that annoys everyone else except for the people having fun. Singing at the top of our lungs in the car, tangoing down the length of my dorm room. How do you explain ending a relationship like that to anyone?
Let it die and get out of my mind.
All I can say is that something felt wrong. How long I'd felt it, I'm not sure. Maybe a few months. Maybe since the beginning. It was like one of those pieces in a jigsaw puzzle that's shaped exactly like the space you're trying to fit it into, but maybe one edge is off by a millimeter. And after 10 minutes of trying to squeeze it in and yelling at the puzzle for being stupid, you're forced to admit you've got the wrong piece. That's how I felt. I kept trying to change him. Why can't you be more assertive? Why can't you show me you're passionate about God? Why are you watching so much TV? Somewhere inside of me was this belief that to love someone means loving who they already are, not who you think you can make them into. But I wasn't doing that for my boyfriend.
If you should love me, oh yeah, you lose a good thing.
So, I started asking for advice. Lots of it. In fact, if you met me during the month before my boyfriend and I broke up, chances are I would have asked you for advice. Should I stay with him and try to work it out? Or should I walk away? Let it go. Bonus points if you were an older friend, a pastor, or a married woman. But I guess no one wanted to be responsible for deciding the fate of someone else's relationship, so I never got a straight answer. How do I know whether or not I love him? I'd ask. And they would respond, when you know, you just know. Are my standards too high? I'd ask. Well, they'd say, relationships are all about compromise, but there are also things you can't compromise. Sometimes they'd ask me, what is God telling you? As if I would be asking their advice if I knew what God was saying. But the real winner, the mother of all platitudes, was this one.
Follow your gut.
You should follow your gut.
You just have to follow your gut.
Follow your gut. I'd never really thought too much about what that phrase meant, but I did know that, deep down inside, there was a feeling of discomfort that I couldn't shake. No matter how many times I told myself that my boyfriend and I could work it out if we just tried harder. So in the end, I followed that feeling. or since it was a mutual breakup, we followed it. And now, in the aftermath of it all, I'm wondering what exactly we followed. What is a gut, anyway? And why should I trust it enough to go where it leads me? Thus began my quest to uncover the real meaning of a really well-worn phrase. I started out by asking some of my friends.
All right, so if I could ask you to explain in one sentence, what is the gut?
The part of you that initially leans toward one decision over others?
It's that, like, that feeling that's kind of deep, and when something is said, it makes a judgment, like, right off the bat.
You go with what feels right, even if it's not the conventional way to do something.
Would you recommend people to follow the gut?
Yes.
Has there ever been a time in your life when you followed your gut, and how did it turn out for you?
So, my gut. I can't think of one right now.
And that's what most people said. Everyone seemed to have a pretty good idea of what following the gut meant, and plenty of people said they'd recommend it to others, but no one seemed to have a personal stake in it. Then I interviewed Ya.
If I asked you to explain what the phrase follow your gut means in like one sentence, what would you say?
I would say it's doing something that feels right, even when there's no evidence to support that rightness.
Nothing new there. It's pretty much just a rewording of what everyone else said. But then she told me a story that made me believe her.
My mother was born and raised in Ghana in West Africa, and she was extremely poor in a single-parent household, just her and her three sisters, and they're all very beautiful, and basically in a lot of different cultures, probably this one included, there's this idea that if you marry someone who's not extremely poor, then you would have a better chance of life. And so, not that she was actively pursuing a really rich guy, but she happened upon this guy who was basically a prince of his village. He was poised to become a doctor. They were engaged, they were living together, and then one day my mom just left him a note and left. And then she went back to school. She met my dad, who was her teacher's assistant, who was also extremely, extremely poor, and they got married, and her whole family basically just didn't accept what had happened. When she's asked about it, she just says it didn't feel right to marry the other guy.
And that's all she ever says?
That's all she ever says. There's no reason. She didn't have, like, her life would have been great. Not that it's not good now, but she would have been like a very important person in the country that she was raised in. But she just says that it didn't feel right.
Ya's mother's story hit a little too close to home. Just like me, she had what seemed to be a great relationship. And just like me, she let it go.
So, I mean, did she love him, or how did she...
Yeah, I think she did love him. I think she loved him, but I think she also just felt like there is something else out there for her.
Sigma, Pi, Lambda, Alpha, Gamma, Chi, Nu, Omicron, Nu. Splanknon, or Splanknos, or Splanknoi, depending. The Greek word for gut, for your bowels, for your spleen. The deep inward parts. In the Greek worldview, the seat of your emotion, just like we would talk of the heart today.
That's my pastor, Glenn Davis. I interviewed him because, after hearing Ya's story, I began to wonder if the so-called gut feeling wasn't just code for communication with the divine. Because sure, maybe Ya's mother felt like there was something else out there, but that something else could very well have been an abusive relationship, or no relationship at all, on top of her whole family being mad at her for leaving the rich guy. It wasn't just something else she sensed. It was something more. Something better. But how could she know it would all turn out the way it did, with her meeting Yah's father and falling in love and even ending up more financially secure than she would have been with the doctor? Maybe that feeling inside that compelled her to leave the doctor was God, nudging her in the right direction. And I want to believe that it was God telling my boyfriend and I to break up, too, because that means we did the right thing, or at least that we're also heading in the right direction. But divine communication wasn't Pastor Glenn's idea of the gut at all.
When people tell me that they want to follow your gut, or that they ought to follow their gut, what they seem to be indicating is they should just go with whatever makes the most sense to them at the moment. They should trust their intuition.
Okay, so how is intuition different than, say, you know, writing out a pros and cons list?
Well, you're talking about your rational brain versus your emotional brain. When, for example, oftentimes I find people who are engaged in a pattern of destructive relationships. They find themselves consistently attracted to someone that winds up being very bad for them. They're following their gut into this relationship. They're just being drawn by their hormones or their emotions. And they're not thinking rationally. You know, the last time I got in a relationship with a guy who had a prison record and, you know, tattoos, you know, with five girls' names down his arm, it didn't end so well. Maybe I should evaluate this rationally. So follow your gut is a superficial way to live, really.
So would you recommend against going with your gut?
Well, it depends on the type of decision you're making. If you're trying to choose what clothes to wear for the day, your gut is probably a pretty good guide, because it's not a matter with huge consequences. But when you're talking about decisions for which there are strong pros or cons that you're going to override by your gut, I think that's generally foolish. Now, there are situations where you can't tell the good from the bad. It's hard to say, should I take this job in New York City or should I go to L.A.? Should I move to Dubai or should I settle in London? And in those situations, there might be some pros or cons, but a lot of it is about your personality and what you want, and your gut's probably a good instinct there, or a good guide there.
Okay, so I think I see where you're going here.
Mm-hmm.
Your gut is actually more of an indication of what you want.
Yes.
Versus what might be good, might be bad. But in a situation where there seems to be no clearly right answer, would you recommend to follow your gut?
Yeah, I would say that is, what else will you do? You can flip a coin, I suppose, but you might as well do what you want.
But what I wanted was to be with my boyfriend. I just couldn't reconcile that desire with the growing sense of discomfort I'd had about us. The growing belief that no matter how much I wanted us to work out, it wasn't going to happen. So, okay, maybe there was no mysterious outside force telling me what to do, but rather an inside force telling me what I already knew. But even so, why was that desire strong enough to trump my desire to be with him? And forget the frou-frou goo-goo definitions of the gut as some powerful feeling deep within the soul. I wanted to know exactly what was happening inside my body to make me feel this way. After all, the gut is a body part, isn't it? So, I went to a scientist.
The gut usually refers to, anatomically at least, refers to all the organs in your abdominal cavity. So that would include your stomach, your small intestines, your large intestine, your spleen, your pancreas, et cetera, et cetera.
This is Jerry Lee, a biologist and researcher at the Cook Lab for Cardiovascular Research at Stanford University. He describes the gut feeling as communication between two separate physiological systems, the digestive system and the brain.
So the gut instinct is a signal which your gut sends to your brain. So the interesting part about brains and the gut is that your gut is completely on a totally different system than your brain is. It's has its own system called the enteric nervous system. Your gut is controlled by the separate nervous system, which actually contains more neurons than your entire spinal cord.
In effect, the gut has something akin to its own brain. It's a whole system unto itself, although it is connected to the brain and is still reliant on the brain to a great extent. This seems to be evidence for the idea that the gut can sense something on its own and relay that message to the brain. But according to Lee, the true gut feeling, that is, literally feeling something in your gut and coming to a conclusion about it in your brain, is actually a message from your brain to your gut. It's called the fight or flight reaction.
Let's say I had a gut feeling about somebody. Let's say I thought somebody was dangerous, or I thought somebody, you know, was going to inflict harm on me. That's probably my brain telling my gut to shut off its function. So there is what we call a stress response, or a fight or flight response. And basically, part of that system entails shutting off all the functions that we don't use when we're either trying to fight somebody or we're trying to fly from, or, you know, run away from somebody. So what happens is that our sympathetic nervous system sends a signal to our gut that tells it to not digest anymore. And so that probably contributes to that sinking feeling that we feel when something is giving us anxiety. That
so really what the gut feeling is a signal that goes from the brain to the gut, then back to the brain. But that begs the question, why send a message to the gut in the first place?
Our brain thinks a lot of things. You know, Freud has, you know, discovered the unconscious mind, right? And previously it was thought that the gut, because it's such a metabolically powerful set of organs, that would be the area in which our brain could best get our attention, you know, because from our early human origins, finding food, getting food is, you know, makes up most of our day. So that connection, that visceral connection that we feel with food and with eating, that was the best way that our brain could get our attention.
To recap, the gut feeling is most likely a realization that comes from our subconscious and gets communicated to our enteric nervous system, which is why we feel it in the gut. And the reason we feel it there is because our conscious mind has been trained to pay close attention to that area. It's how we know when we need to eat and how much. Basic survival skills. You can think of the gut as a kind of translation device, taking a message from our subconscious and relaying it back to our conscious minds. But notice that the gut feeling is almost always linked to a negative discovery. That sinking feeling, the sensation of our stomach turning over as our bodies prepare to fight or fly. What if the gut feeling isn't about desire after all? What if it's about fear? Not what do I want more, but what am I more afraid of? Because I can't answer the question, what did I want more, to stay with my boyfriend or to break up with him? What I can answer, though, is the question of what I was more afraid of. But first, there's something you should know. I interviewed Jerry, our biologist, in his car, on top of a hill in a quiet neighborhood a little off campus. We used to drive into one of these neighborhoods with their vast, silent houses when we needed to have serious talks, usually after a big fight. We'd park beside a curb and sit in the dark, saying nothing, him in the driver's seat, me in the passenger seat. From time to time, one of us would break the silence with a heavy sigh. Eventually, we'd start talking, and with each explanation and apology, a bit of tension would seep out of the car, and slowly, we'd let our shoulders relax into the leather seats. It was in one of these neighborhoods, over a month ago, that we'd stayed up until 2 a.m. breaking up. You see, Jerry is my ex-boyfriend. Why did I choose to interview him? I guess I just wanted to talk to him. I didn't tell him this whole follow your gut thing was really about us until after the interview. He wasn't very surprised. So I asked him, did you ever have a gut feeling about us?
I have feelings about us. I don't know if I have a gut feeling about us.
Okay. Well, when you had a gut feeling about us, what did you feel? Like, the night that we broke up, like, why did you bring up that conversation?
I brought up that conversation because I thought that that was where it was leading to.
So was that your gut feeling, that it was ending and that we should break up?
It was my intuition, yeah.
So you think it was the right thing to do?
I think it was the most rational thing to do.
If you had to do it all over again...
I had to do it all over again?
Yeah.
If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't have brought it up.
You wouldn't have brought it up that night. You would have just waited it out and just let those problems keep happening.
Yep.
Why?
Because then we'd still be together.
But he didn't ignore his gut feeling, and neither did I. And while I can't necessarily tell you what his gut was more afraid of, I can tell you about mine. I was so scared that if we stayed together, I would continually be finding things about him to criticize, to be frustrated about. I had this image in my head of myself as the mean, nagging wife who never let her husband feel loved and appreciated. I was scared of the person I saw myself becoming. Maybe that's what my gut was telling me to fly from. And since I couldn't run away from myself, I had to run from him. Not that knowing any of this changes or solves anything. I still have a lot of questions about the gut. Like, is it possible not to follow your gut? As a friend pointed out to me recently, you either follow your gut or it follows you. That's one thing I didn't think to ask anyone. Have you ever ignored your gut, and what happened when you did? Also, what if you follow your gut feeling and it turns out to be wrong? Will you still tell people you followed your gut, thus revealing that your gut betrayed you? Or will you simply conclude that you made a mistake? Whether or not I ever find the answers to these questions, the fact remains. To the best of my ability, I followed my gut. And 1 month, 1 week, and 6 days later, I'm still not sure if I did the right thing.
I wish you bluebirds in the spring. Christina Ho graduated from Stanford in 2010.